Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Monster Wrestling as we are ruling the ring with authority here. My co-host is back. Cool McCann is back.
Welcome back, sir. And apparently, just in case y'all wonder what's going on, apparently StreamYard is busy. A lot of people hopping on Monday nights. So, yeah, it actually took us a few times to get on. It's all good, though. We here. We in the building.
We are in the building. Nice to have my co-host back after I had to go solo last week.
He had to go solo. He wanted to go solo, y'all. Don't buy into that. That man know enough people. He could have got somebody to slide in. He knew early, y'all. It wasn't no last minute. He knew early I wanted to be here. That man wanted to do that show by himself.
Yeah, like 6:30 in the morning early. Jeez, when the brother sleeping.
That man had over 10. That man had half a day to find somebody.
I still had to prepare for the show. But yeah. I got it done.
Like I say, he decided he wanted to do this show by himself, y'all. Don't fall for that.
I mean, I went solo with it. I didn't bug nobody. I made it happen. It is what it is. So as we get ready here, as I did last week, we have the opening bell for you.
Oh, hold on, y'all. Hold on, y'all. I'm getting used to this. Hold on. Now he just said open the bell, y'all. He just said it.
This week, the opening bell is going to go something like this. Is Roman Reigns overrated? That's the question. Is Roman Reigns overrated? Because that's been a topic going around because apparently there's people that feel like Roman Reigns is overrated. But we will get to that. That's something for y'all to think about throughout the show. And we'll get to that when we get to that point. Is Roman Reigns overrated?
Ladies and gentlemen, that was your... Got it.
Now, let's dive to the word of NXT. Begin with the NXT side. Mr. McCain.
Yes, sir.
Last weekend, this team was good. I think NXT is picking things up as they get ready for their next PLE coming up. I believe that would be Heatwave, if I remember correctly. We're preparing for Heatwave in NXT. That'll be the main takeaway. How are we preparing for Heatwave? Well, Tony D'Angelo, Cruz, Montana, and Grayson Waller and change words between the three. Kind of feel like it's not clicking yet.
Well, so let me expound on that. You're not feeling like it's not clicking. It is not clicking. I don't think the other two are as good as Grayson Waller and Mike, but he's better in promos and not going back and forth. So there's not really a person that's really strong in promos within this little trio, and it's taking away from the build because it's not clear.
That's actually exactly how I felt.
Yeah, long story short. Yes,
sir. Word for word, what he just said. Listen to them talking. It was like, it's like different tones, different. I mean, it's just a little off right now. But hey, championships, it's becoming a big thing in NXT. Can't say for other thing else, but I'll say that for later. Speaking of championships, we have a double champion. We have a double champion because, ladies and gentlemen, Miles Bourne, the North American champion, and Tavion Heights have catcher tag team go by beating the Vanity Project.
So, thank you. I was waiting for this point. My opening bell is, does Miles Bourne deserve one or both of the championships that he has? And does he have anything to make him stand out? Ladies and gentlemen, there's been Cool McCain's. Carry on, my good man.
So the national topic was Roman Reigns, but you're questioning Miles Bourne.
Yes, sir.
Interesting.
That should be this has also been very heavy on the IWC message boards.
Yeah, okay.
So I'm giving the people what they want.
This main event's gonna be something else. And, you know, as I get ready to close out NXT, I have to do it because I'm sorry. The ladies continue to shine on NXT.
Tell us something we don't know.
Kendall Gray, Lola Vice put on a spectacular underground match in their third in the trilogy of their rivalry. Of course, we knew who was going to win the match because it wasn't a kept secret from us. We knew what was going on. We knew the game. As the Usos and the Bloodline say, we knew what the play was. We knew what the play was.
Yeah.
But the ladies put on a spectacular underground match that sends a lot of race up to the main roster. Most likely.
SmackDown or Raw.
Most likely SmackDown. It could change because they like to change stuff because they like to do crazy changes at the last minute. That's just the way the WWE works.
That guy Paul loves to do that.
But Kendall Gray successfully defended the title in the underground. And Lola Vice leaves NXT with her first ever loss in the underground. Cool McCain, you want to talk cakes? He is your first dose of cakes.
Well, I mean, we all know Lola Vice is packing. Lola Vice has been packing. But what I like about Lola Vice is she has the fighting background and she's learning how to be a good wrestler. So you've got a nice package, but you also have skills to go with it. This is something that I think is important for women's wrestling moving forward. They need to be, a lot of the women need to be fair on the eyes. But skills need to be included. Just being fair on the eyes doesn't do it anymore. Like, you have to have the skills to go behind it. Attractive women with skills are what we want. Just like women who watch wrestling, they want attractive men with skills. Unless they also like women, then they want attractive women with skills. But if you're into women, you want attractive women with skills. If you're into men, you want attractive men with skills. You don't want an attractive guy that sucks in the ring. You don't want an attractive woman that sucks in the ring. So Lola Vice is not quite, I'd say, 100% that package. But I say she's probably about 75%. You know what I'm saying? Still some work to do on the wrestling side, but strike with anybody. You know, you put her in any type of underground match or no DQ match, cage match, she's good. Right? She's learning how to be better at the regular wrestling things as well. So this is probably one of the smarter moves that WWE is making as a call-up. Because it's the perfect time to call her up. Yes, I am giving WWE praise. Don't get used to it, but it's happening right now.
Clip this is basically what he's saying.
I'm just telling the truth. I tell the truth.
Sticking with the case. Miss Parker has a friend at Thea Haley. And as they defeat Nikita Lyons and Carmen Petra in a tag team match that opened up NXT.
Tangent. I don't understand why NXT doesn't have its own women's tag team championships. I get why Raw and SmackDown don't because of the amount of teams, but let's be honest. Are you going to have a main roster women's tag team lose to an NXT tag team? Bishop Bullwing Kale can answer that question for us. That's an H no to the no, no, no. So why not give them their own set of women championships? Right? You've got, and you know, if you need to get rid of two championships to do so, the speed trash can go. Problem solved. You don't even have new championships. You're just replacing garbage with actual championships. Just my two cents.
And I ain't know Jada Parker was not a fan of hooks. Thanks to DL, I'm starting to see that now.
I mean, you got to think about it, though. Attractive women don't really like all them hugs and stuff. AJ Lee, if you take a picture with her, you have to stand beside. You can't put your arm around her if you're a guy. A lot of them are like that. Which, I can't blame them. A lot of men don't know how to control themselves, lose their mind.
That I do agree with. But it's interesting. At one point, people thought Parker didn't have no friends, and then Thea Head comes out of nowhere, and all of a sudden, things are looking up for Miss Parker.
And Thea Hill's just, to me, Thea Hill's one of those people that you can plug into any situation, and she may not be great at it, but she'll make it work.
NXT doing that thing. The ladies in NXT continue to kill it. It further impresses on what Grayson Waller said the previous week.
True. All right, so we got a couple of compliments here. I mean, comments here. Oh, boy. It's been a while, 2 weeks, y'all. So Yolanda says, hey, cool. You were missed last week. Thank you, Yolanda. I appreciate that. I'm sure. I watched my boy. He held it down. But, yeah, you know, I'm kind of left. He kind of right. So if you're just going right and you ain't going left, it just don't have the right dynamic. I feel you. I appreciate that. So, Yolanda. I updated it.
You could probably say I've been hanging out with Victor all day today.
Says good evening to the Playmaker and Cool Breeze McCain. What's going on, V Lock? You know, Eagles and Leaders back too, my boy, just to let you know. And then Yolanda says, hey, little bro, too.
Hi, sis.
And then Vicola says, question, where do you think Lola will go after her last match at NXT? Will she stay in AAA full time or will she split between AAA and SmackDown? I'm gonna let you have that one, sir. Good question, Villa.
Split. I think she still got that mixed tag team title with what you call it.
I like the split too because. Can I say something since we talked about AAA?
All right.
It's a little so. Dominic Mysterio is frustrated with his presentation. Now you might say, why would he be frustrated with his presentation or whatever? And the nerve of him being frustrated was very welcome, Vigilo. So in AAA, he's presented as a dominant, serious force. He's the La Campeón of AAA. On Raw, he's a cornball clown. And I can understand why you would want to have consistency throughout your character. Right? So if you watch AAA and you watch Raw, you don't even see the same person. And I think that's a valid point.
Dominic actually helped me because I said last week, when I doing the show last week, I said one of the biggest losers from SummerSlam was Dominic Mysterio because at one point, you was the biggest heel on Raw. It didn't matter what you did.
Mm-hmm.
And now you out here losing matches to Danhausen.
And that's the thing. You got him in a comedy thing on Raw, but then you want people to take him serious in AAA. A lot of these people are watching both of these shows. So I 100% agree with him that the character needs to be consistent throughout AAA and Raw to some extent. right? Like, you don't have to, you're clearly not gonna be the most dominant person on Raw, but you should be taken serious. You know, you can lose a match, but it should be some shenanigans or some foolishness more often than not when you're losing. I mean, this man can't even get back into the Intercontinental Championship picture, but he's the AAA World Heavyweight Champion. That just, and to me, it's a huge devaluation of the AAA brand. If your champion is a clown on Raw, then what are you really telling people that may just be tuning in AAA since it was bought by WWE? Oh, the AAA is under NXT. This on the same level with Evolve. That's what you're telling people. You're presenting Rey Fénix as way more of a serious guy on SmackDown, and he's the, was it, television champion? Or the light heavyweight champion? Light heavyweight champion for AAA. And he's getting treated a lot better than the actual world heavyweight champion of AAA on Raw. Crazy word. It's another thing that, Paul, you need to get better at. Oh, yeah, my voice is back now. Let's go.
All I'm saying. Thank you, Dominic, for proving my point from last week. Thank you for proving my point.
Yes, we'll throw it out there. Felt good.
I know. You haven't done that in, like, forever. So that's what I got from NXT from the previous week. Miss McCain, what did you take away from the total non-stop action last week? As we prepare for lockdown.
Xia Brookside is going to be a long-term Knockouts World Champion. She defeated Wendy Choo to retain her title on Impact. Of course, now the Hardys and Nemeth are going at it. Jeff and Nick are going to have a championship match this coming week. Not at Lockdown, which is kind of weird. So it'll probably end up being a rematch at Lockdown because there'll be some shenanigans, I'm sure. AJ Francis got upset by the Hometown Man, which was really crazy. And then Knockouts Television Champion quarterfinal match. Heather Baelegance defeated Mara Sade. And then the next day, we found out she's done with TNA. So, of course, she lost. So, apparently, she's more than likely headed to the company we'll be talking about next, AEW. And that should be interesting. Another point of interest, because we're getting to Lockdown. We're not going to quite go over yet, but just know that Lockdown is kind of where things are looming, if that makes sense. We think, I've got a pretty good little birdie that told me that Elena Black is going to be the one in the Lockdown cage with Xia Brookside for the Women's Championship. And then we kind of talked about what happened. And then Brian Myers had two matches. He won a tag team match with Eddie Edwards against KZ Navarro and Fabian Ockner. And then KZ Navarro beat Brian Myers via DQ in a one-on-one match. Kind of weird, but hey, you know, that's what they do. So for those of you who may be newer to watching TNA, I just want to take a second and explain. So Yolanda, this is a great question. I'm going to stop it. She says, is AAA owned by WWE or TKO? So either way, it's owned by TKO. Because if WWE owns it, TKO owns WWE. I believe it's owned by WWE, but TKO owns WWE and AAA. And then she says, it was my first time seeing her in actual wrestling attire instead of onesies. Fair enough. So Lockdown basically is a concept that was around during the beginning. I think this is the first time I've done it in like 10 years. Every single match is going to be in a cage. So no matter who's wrestling, it's a cage match. So every single match that you see on Lockdown will be in a cage. I think that makes it more interesting because it ups the stakes. So, Elena Morisade is going to AEW, the former Miss Jakara Jackson. They ain't do nothing with her in TNA. I wouldn't want to stay there either. I mean, you can't do any worse than AEW. I mean, you already on the bottom of her. You losing a match to Heather by Elegance. I mean, I'd want to be let go after that too. But it's interesting because it's like you can't just take like, hey, we're just going to take two guys who, you know, they don't have any beef with each other and we're just going to throw them in lockdown. Yeah. It's got to be more of a, we're actually focusing on lockdown and we're trying to kind of championship matches or try to get some of these feuds that's been dragging out forever over with. And while we're talking about TNA, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention Order 4. One of the members, Jason Hotch, has taken the belt from Mustafa Ali. Mustafa Ali touched his wife, and now there's going to be a problem. They're going to end up in lockdown, I'm sure, battling over the championship. So they'll do some things to make some matches make sense. But lockdown is kind of like we're trying to end rivalries. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if you saw, like, Moose, Sosa, Fabian Achner, and Leon, I always forget his last name, but all four of them, like, against the system, right? Kind of getting, kind of ending rivalries is the type of thing they like to do in lockdown.
Well, if I remember correctly from last week, you already got Leon Slater and Cedric Alexander battling for the X Division title in the steel cage.
But what I'm just saying is, I'm just giving examples like the kind of matches you would have based on, you know, rivalry and how long they've been going on. So yeah, I'm aware they have their one-on-one match. But I'm saying that's the kind of thing they would do in lockdown. Like, you'd have four guys that have beef. You have a faction. You'd have them fight at lockdown to kind of end it. You know, if you had like you could have Moose and Eddie Edwards, right? Because they've been.
I can see Casey Navarro taking that spot while they just keep Leon Slater in that singles match.
Well, the singles match is against one of the members of the system, so it wouldn't be 4-on-4, sir. But I'm just saying that's the type of match that they would do. I'm not saying they're going to do that match, but that's the type of match that they would do. Or if you had like a really, like you had two females that had been feuding for a long time, maybe it took a break, but they really have beef and they see each other, stuff like that. Those are the type of matches that you have at lockdown. So I'm just saying, we'll see in the next couple of weeks what else comes out. There's a few out there, but we'll see what else comes out in the next few weeks.
Will the finals of the television tournament be at lockdown?
They haven't said 100% yet, but knowing TNA, yes. Just because it's the kind of thing they like to do. And it does make sense. Y'all can get bloody in that final, or quote-unquote bloody. Because we know now, just because you're in a cage doesn't mean you bleed. Tangent number two, y'all. Why are we having cage matches and nobody's bleeding? Thank you, Yolanda. Leon Slater. I always forget his last name. Leon Slater, yeah. We have all these cage matches now and nobody bleeds. And I'm not saying you're supposed to, like, you're supposed to, excuse me, I'm not saying you're supposed to, the country trying to slide through. I'm not saying you are supposed to, like, be covered in blood in a bloody mask. But we ain't got nobody spitting up blood. We ain't got no cut on the arm. You are in a cage beating people's faces and bodies against the cage. And everybody walking out with no blood, no bruises, nothing. My suggestion is, if that's what you're going to do, take the matches out of the cages, man. Let's not even do that. Because if you're going to have a cage match, somebody got to have something happen. If we got, I mean, I'm going to even go this far. If we got to go back to Blade, then you got a Blade, bro. Like, do something. We can't be in multiple cage matches across multiple promotions and nobody's bleeding. That's so, what the cage is for.
So Twitter nonstop, what my co-host is saying is, if you're going to have a whole pay-per-view that's inside a cage, we need to see some interesting things happen.
Y'all better learn how to play or cut yourself. I mean, I ain't got to be like crazy cuts, but at least a little arm blood, cheek or something, forehead. Like, we need some blood. Blood pack, whatever. We need some blood. You're not going to... So you're asking me to suspend reality to believe in wrestling to begin with, right? Now you're going to tell me to suspend reality, but then you're going to tell me that you're going to have matches in cages that nobody bleeds. Y'all all need to do better with that. That ain't even a WWE thing. Y'all all got to do better with that.
Oh, it's a wrestling thing.
Yeah, y'all got to do better with that. If you don't want to use real blood, then you find some ketchup or something. Slap it on there. You know what I'm saying? But we got to do better. We got to have something. We need something. Do us right, people. Do us right. All y'all get your minds right, and let's get back to actual cage matches being bloody.
I think we can go to break on that one.
Oh, boy. Hey, man. Sometimes you look at yourself, you're like, bro, you wild. That's what happens when I look in the mirror. But let's do this thing.
Join Ryan McCarthy.
I became a Jets fan because Kermit the Frog was my favorite Muppet because he was green. And the Jets wore green. That's how I become a Jets fan.
And Dustin Henry.
ESPN is cashing all in on let's pay a few personalities and we'll just kind of fill in the gaps.
As they walk you through all of the world of sports from their perspective.
The Albany Empire, it's a literal circus.
No credentials required. Where, Ryan, say the tag.
Where you don't need a press pass to talk sports.
Live every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central on YouTube and where you can find podcasts.
If you're watching WWE and not repping your favorite superstar, what are you doing? T-shirts, championship hoodies, this is how you show who you ride with. Whether it's legends or the stars that are running it right now, it's all about representing your side. Hit the link in the description and shop official gear right now through WWE Shop. Every era, every superstar, every fan. Don't just watch. Represent.
Welcome back to Monster Wrestling as your boys are ruling the ring with authority. All Elite Wrestling time. And our journey to All in London. Stop south of the border, Kuma King. Grand Slam Mexico City, sir.
Yes, it was. So, AW, this is one thing I got to say to y'all. The whole, I got to do the event on Collision and Dynamite. So, Dynamite is way better than Collision. I'm going to say it. If any AW fans are mad with me because of it, it is what it is. Dynamite is way better than Collision. I tried to watch Collision, fell asleep twice. I feel like, I end up just watching Masters of the Universe because it just wasn't working. You know what I'm saying?
Is Kuma King like, saying that the Hall of Fame game was more interesting than Collision?
I don't know because I didn't watch the Hall of Fame game. I watched Masters of the Universe. That was
That was a funny movie. I did not expect that to be that funny.
Yeah, I gotta say, not that we're movie review critic show or anything. That was like an action comedy. That's a new genre, but it was an action comedy.
I did not expect that to be that funny. It really did.
Yeah, it was funny. But you got to do something with Collision. I think maybe separate stars, separate wrestlers on there or something. You got to do something with Collision. Because right now, Collision, it's the opposite of a good look. But I get back on target here. All right. Playmaker, I know you probably dabbled a little bit of what was happening with AEW. Anything you want to throw out there, sir?
Hey, man, Andrade Iglo is on a run. He's on a roll.
Now yep, he's going to be out. He's going to be out for a few weeks. You heard about that?
I did not hear about that.
Yeah, he got a nasty cut on his head. I guess he said, but either happened, I think it happened when he got hit with the diamond ring. But he got a nasty cut on his head now. So he's going to be out for somewhere between a few days and a few weeks. I mean, it ain't going to be long, but he's going to be out until he heals up. So.
He did earn himself a number one spot in the casino gauntlet for All In.
Oh, and Andrade said he only had one question for y'all. The question was, how you know? What a catchphrase. How you know? It works for Andrade, though. It works for Andrade. Yeah, I just want to throw it out there while you was talking about it.
Yeah, sir. No, you're good. This rivalry with Mercedes Moné and Will Nightingale, it's going to be a pleasure. I'm going to enjoy it. And then they managed to add the tag team titles into the mix.
So this is that's what I like. So this is where I'm starting to give AEW more kudos on the storytelling. So I told y'all since we started doing this show, the wrestling has never been an issue. It has always been the storytelling. Now you got the Babes of Wrath and the what's the name?
I think they changed their name because I know got the Brawling Birds.
Yeah, that's right. The Brawling Birds and then
they call it and Divine Dominion.
Divine Dominion, that's what they call it. So now, yeah, Divine Dominion. So it's nice that you kind of, like you said, you added everybody in because Divine Dominion hadn't had really a lot of people try to step up. So this should be a fun because they're going to be, I think they're going to be fighting it All In too. So that'll be fun to kind of have, you know, both sets of championships, the female championships being defended actually. So this will be fun.
I'm going to enjoy this. I mean, talk about cakeage.
That's a match full of cakeage. And also, there was a post a couple hours ago that Bayley is not even being subtle with her AWTs that she's coming.
She ain't even hiding it.
Yep, she said she's all in. They're saying her contract ends in December, but if she's talking about she's all in, that contract's not ending in December.
Because All In is at the end of the month.
Correct. So I'm not going to come right out and say it, but I will say that I feel like she's going to be there. But she can't be. I don't think she's going to be at All In just because, you know, they have the 90-day no compete. But I think they're going to go ahead and just, you know, get her up out of there. Let her get her stuff started. And keep it moving. Now, AEW did have a death. Oh, go ahead, sir. I'll let you finish.
I hope it's the same thing I'm about to say. It was just funny for me.
Oh, go ahead.
The trio's title has changed hands after 1 week again.
Bruh. Why is the question? Why? And I'm not even like I'm not mad that the demand lost the belts in a week. I'm just like, why even put it on them for a week? You treat them like their dad blame. Now they're all better wrestlers than Sami Zayn, So, you know, you treat them like Sami Zayn, but they're in a different category than Sami Zayn.
Oh my gosh. That was funny. That was like 1 week. That's all it takes. 1 week.
7 old days.
That's like, oh, the man got it. Okay, then the man won it. All right, hey, I ain't gonna be mad at it. Man, you know, right. Things happen. Yeah. No lethal twist got involved, and the man took advantage of it. It is what it is. Mm-hmm. And then Brandino and Adam Page comes in and takes it 1 week later.
Now, I will tell y'all, watch out for Adam Page. He's gonna have about 3 or 4 belts at a time. He's gonna have a couple of these nobody matter belts. Because he can't have the world champion, but he can have all the other belts. So his goal is to get as many of them as he can. I think he's going to.
Wow, that was a comedy goal for me.
Right, that was crazy. And then I think the match of the night was Kyle Fletcher and Speedball Mike Bailey. Because Mike Bailey almost beat him. Like, real talk. It was very tight. It was very highly contested, and there wasn't a lot of like run-ins from the Don Callis family. Kyle Fletcher won the match, but Speedball gave him everything he could handle, and a little bit more.
I can't disagree with him.
Yeah, and Will Ospreay got his lick back against Mark Davis in the main event. It just didn't feel like a main event. Will Ospreay did everything he could, but it didn't feel like a main event. I need
Ospreay to stay focused on Kenny Omega. That's it.
That's what's crazy. That match is already set. So now he's going back and fighting somebody who hurt him before. Like, come on, bro. You could have got hurt again. I agree. Like, you got to stay focused on what's important. And that's not what's important, Pimpin. And if you don't know that, it's a problem. So, and then a moment that was on the boring show that I did take notice of was when Shane Taylor Productions decided that they wanted to list the services of my guys that hurt people. So we finally, after Lord knows how long, saw them on camera. They are still in AEW, and they're going to hurt somebody. So
there's that. This ain't gonna last long.
What's that?
This partnership ain't gonna last long.
Which partner? Oh, with Shane Taylor Productions? Oh no, yeah. It's not a partnership, it's just so the way they're being presented is like the APA back in the day. So you got somebody you want to get got, that's who you go to get them got. So it's not really a partnership. It's more like, we're going to give you money, take this person out for us. Yeah, it's not a partnership.
Yeah, well, it's already syndicated money. With APA, could be money or beer. It didn't matter what deal.
Yeah, it's always money with the Earth Syndicate. They want money. All right, so Yolanda says it was funny when the Righteous getting booed their whole segment. You know what, Yolanda? It was funny, but their segment was so inconsequential, we didn't even want to talk about it. But I do agree it was funny them getting booed the whole time. You got beat down by senior citizens, and then you try to come back and act like it doesn't matter that you got beat down by senior citizens. That's how the Righteous get down. You got beat up by some senior citizens. It's crazy. Anything else from AEW, sir?
No, I have nothing else.
All right, we're going to take another commercial break. Yeah. And then we shall return. Let's get it.
Hey, Eagles fan. Join my man, Cool McCain, and a host of others as they break down every single game, every single week, in an objective manner. And also from a fan's perspective as well. Remember, This cast feels just like you. Nobody likes you. And you don't care! Fly, Eagles, fly. Eagles Elite Podcast. Every Wednesday at 8:30 p.m. Eastern on YouTube and other podcast outlets. Rams fans all around the world.
It's a beautiful thing to be a Rams fan right now. Stafford's back.
Lend me your ears, or should I say lend Playmaker your ears, as he breaks down week by week everything in the Los Angeles Rams canon.
Number 99, Aaron Donald. Can't wait for 2029 to come to know that you are going in the Hall of Fame, and it should be first ballot, no questions asked.
NFL Underground, if number 99 says I'm coming back for one more year.
Join the Playmaker as he breaks down everything Los Angeles Rams style in Ramily Talk on the Playmaker Network YouTube channel and where you can find podcasts. The Big Ten.
You can say you're not impressed. You can say you're not happy. You can say all these things, but no, whatever the case may be, the Buckeyes are on top of the football world. And it's just where it is.
The SEC.
But I blame one person for this. I blame one person for this.
One person? What one person are you going to be blaming?
Good. I don't give a crap.
Big 12.
That team right there that is ranked 15 that put up 45 points.
Yes, sir.
They were picked at last at the beginning of the season.
The ACC.
Quote, feeling the blues in Death Valley. Close quote. Duke ends a 45-year drought in Clemson. You are coaching a team, son. Get with the program and worry about your program.
The CLP rankings, do away with that.
Right.
Do away with it.
Bring down the gridiron on the Playmakers Network YouTube channel and where you can find podcasts.
Yeah, welcome back to Monarchs of Wrestling as we rule in the ring with authority. My co-host joined me on that show that y'all just saw last week as we preview his conference, the Atlantic Coast Conference.
I miss Babe a little bit too.
I wish they would change their name to the All Coast Conference because that's exactly what they are. Well, exactly what that conference is now. Literally stretched from coast to coast.
That's what I call them. You know what I'm saying? I ain't playing them games.
This week, me and Cole Johns will be previewing the Big 12. That should be fun. And Ramily Talk is officially back starting Thursday.
Y'all know easily back.
So your two boys here, outside of reeling the ring, doing other stuff too.
And keep an eye on your boy, because you know I always got something brewing in the back of the kitchen. I got something else coming too. We'll talk about
it. The world of wrestling entertainment. And WWE. The fallout for SummerSlam. By the way, before I go on, Mr. McCain, you wasn't here last week, so any quick takeaways from the two-night SummerSlam?
Not really. Not really at all.
All right. What was the takeaway from Monday Night Raw? Well, guess what, Mr. McCain? We're going to talk about some more cakes. The women's division of Monday Night Raw got a spark. Becky Lynch returned. And has some Twitch words for Liv Morgan. some very hurtful words for Lil Morgan.
Very true.
And then La Primera returned. Stephanie Vaquette returned.
Hence the case talk. Because it definitely ain't Becky Lynch.
Then all of a sudden, the women's division on Raw has gotten interesting.
Liv said she beat everybody. She talked a lot of smack. But now she got back it up.
And this is all after So Ruka beat Roxanne by disqualification because the Judgment Day didn't want Roxanne to lose. So now Liv Morgan has two people coming for her, Ms. McCain, Stephanie Vaquette, who WWE's been waiting on for the longest, and Becky Lynch is back.
I think we're getting a good guy for Becky Lynch this time.
That was a hell of a way to return, too.
I still like her old music better than this new one. Just me.
I mean, the insults he threw at Liv Morgan, good gracious.
I was not upset about him, right?
First of all, she started off by saying, I'm here to make sure you don't go another 100 days without defending your title. I'm like, yeesh, that is taking off.
She out there pulling Grayson Waller from last week.
I'm like, this whole thing, actually. And guess what? Follow ESPN for that, Liv Morgan.
I mean, we all knew it.
We knew it, but ESPN displayed it.
They told the truth.
Man, it's been ran with ever since.
We ask people to tell the truth.
ESPN put it out there. Then Bacon said, yeah, well, I'm here to make sure you don't go another 100 days without defending that title. And then she said, you're not even the greatest champion in the group. Oof. And then she said, and this was the one that got the crowd. You're not even the best women's champion to sleep with Dominic.
Did you find a lie?
I was like, ouch.
In the words of one Brian Snow, did you find a lie?
I'm like, I was like, Becky, go on now. Like, Becky's going off real. Jeez.
She's giving it to him. Pause.
And then while Liv Morgan's like, let me get away from Becky Lynch and not deal with her at this moment in time, Stephen Black Cat music hit, and it was a brawl.
Lana wanted to remind us of that, sir. I'll let you read it.
All my people came back that I named, by the way. KO, RKO, and Stephanie. Love it.
Find a lot.
So, there ain't one. Stephanie's back. Becky's back. Liv Morgan has two people coming for her. And by the way, Raquel Rodriguez makes the Intercontinental Championship look small. I know there's more of his alley, but I know there's more of something he would say, not me, but.
That I was trying to figure out. That's it. That's it. I was like, why do we look different? You're right. They need to make her a bigger version. Like a bigger strap. They need to look more like the men's one for her because she's a bigger woman.
I'm sorry, that thing just looked small. I'm like, yeah, that thing looked small around.
It's like when Mark Henry was a world heavyweight champion. They're a little tiny.
Yeah, I know. Netflix did take that comment out.
Yeah.
It was just crazy work by them. I didn't know Netflix had censorship issues.
Netflix just don't want to offend nobody.
So, the return that was not a secret finally happened. And Big Cass returned and decided to lay out the young OG Jerron Evans. Later in the night, being interviewed by I think Kathy Kelly or maybe Jackie Redman. I don't remember which one of the two. But he said, well, nothing personal. You just happen to be the first person that I need to take down.
Yes, we do.
So he gave Mr. Alumni from the bloodline. He gave everybody on Raw their warning shot.
Like Jay Uso. Bow.
So Big Cass made his debut. What'd you think of it?
Well, I want to agree with Yolanda Becky did do her thing. And I hope they do turn on Liv soon too. As far as Big Cass, he whooped his ass. Jermaine Evans got that work. Now, to all the fans of Jervon Evans, breathe easy, slow down. You know, Wu-Sai, he had just finished the match. And that's why it worked. Because it didn't really devalue Jervon Evans. And we still got Big Cass going in. So I think it worked out well.
Now, LA Knight wants Roman Reigns. He wants a shot at the title. He did say he would eat crow. In fact, that Roman Reigns did beat Seth Rollins on his own. There was no interference. Roman Reigns told him, how about you win something? Like, win something big for once. So, preview of note. I should say this for the final match, but final belt, but I throw this out here. There's supposed to be a qualifying / tournament of some sort to determine the next opponent for Roman Reigns. From early reports, things can change. So thinking LA Knight might be in that little thing there to win that one to finally face off with Roman Reigns.
But if you're talking about the AAA tournament, I don't think so.
Not AAA tournament.
That's going to be his next thing.
Oh, really?
They're going to have a AAA tournament to determine who fights Roman Reigns for his championship.
Interesting. Mm-hmm.
That's what him and Rey Mysterio was talking about.
Yeah, we did get to see Rey Mysterio at the end. It was like, interesting. I wonder if this is going to be about, but my co-host is on top of it.
Hey, I had extra time to research.
But I don't have a match. Actually, no, I'll tell you that, but I do got a match. Jacob Fatu and Royce Keys in a street fight. Good curses.
Yolanda, you should be happy. That was two big meaty men.
What did you think of this street fight between friends?
So it wasn't in the cage, so no expectations of blood. And we still got blood. So we can get blood not in the cage, but we can't get blood in the cage. Because Royce Keys is bleeding from the mouth by the end of the match. But we have a cage match and there's no blood.
And then after Roman Reigns came out, gave the seal of approval to Jacob Fatu for what he did to Royce Keys.
Well, he had told him earlier in the night, you got to win. Y'all want to be equals and all this, then y'all got to win. I'm winning with no help. Y'all got to win.
And he also told him, don't touch LA Knight, which LA Knight took advantage of.
Yeah. Tell him to leave LA Knight alone. You know LA. As soon as you heard that.
But yeah, my moment from Monday Night Raw and WWE, y'all don't screw this up. But the stare down between Prime Breaker and Obafemi. After Obafemi did his promo, the Vision was coming out for their match, which was Prime Breaker with Joe Hendry. And Prime Breaker feels some type of way, and I'm here for it. What about you?
I love it. You need something for Oba to do that's not a championship at the moment. But Intercontinental Champion, Chad Gable, at some point, it's going to get crazy. Yolanda hits us with the solo Sokoa. Bow, bow, pew, pew, pew. Shout out to Solo Sokoa.
I don't know if you know, but that he was my MVP on the men's side for SummerSlam.
When he did the mid-match heat and then hit Jay with the hard shoulder block, I was like, bruh. Yeah. Don't put him back with Bloodline.
Anything let him be solo, you got, solo. Yeah. Anything you got from Raw?
Yeah, I think you pretty much covered it all.
To SmackDown. And yet again, my main takeaway is the women's division. Unfortunately, on SmackDown, not in a good way. My main takeaway is this. We crowned an interim champion for the women's division of SmackDown. Mm-hmm. You throw this individual in a tag team match. A tag team match for where they cease fighting for the tag team titles with Tiffany Stratton against Faith and the Lords. She loses the match. She's the one that gets pinned. She gets beat up by Nia Jax. After the show, we come to find out she's injured. And I'm talking about Chelsea Green. She wasn't even in the match. That's the funny part.
No, she got hurt in the match with the same group.
No, yeah, the group. Yeah, the same group. But the person that did it wasn't even in the match.
And then Rhea Ripley got hurt. Having a match with that same group. Charlotte Flair got hurt. I think it was had a match with the same group, like four people. Just want to throw it out there. Get hurt.
So the interim champion Chelsea Green has a broken orbital bone.
She'll be good though, because she'll be able to be back in a couple of weeks. And just she'll have to wear a mask.
And it's like, well, darn, what's going on with the women's on SmackDown? Sticking with the women. Jade Cargill and Charlotte Flair went at it. And to be honest, even though I love both women, it was not their best match.
Mm-hmm. I'll say this. I thought Jade really stepped up. Now, there was a botch. But only really, honestly, only that one botch. I thought Jade stepped up, and I thought they fought a little bit of a match tailored to not make her look bad. So that's probably why you feel like it wasn't as good of a match, some of those you see, because I think it was more of a let's make sure we don't make Jay look bad with this one.
But we get to see Tatum Paxley debut on SmackDown after Alexa Bliss came back.
But she came back in the way that old boy came back from the Vision with that arm brace on.
Yeah, Logan Paul.
Yeah. I was going to say, oh boy, can we fire Logan Paul? Paul?
Melissa Bliss returned. She brought Lily with her this time. And she had them on gloves. And it said play. Lights went out. Next thing you know, Taylor Pesley all of a sudden is at the top of the pole and diving on the baddies. Be fine to meet you.
Just remember, it's always, can we fire Logan Paul? 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 Can we fire Logan Paul? That just tickles me, man. It really does. My man made a whole song about fire this dude.
And then Charlotte Flair went on to defeat Jay Cargill, but I have a feeling this ain't the last time them two gonna be going at it. Now, moments. There's a lot of moments you can take from SmackDown because they did give you a lot of moments. Mm-hmm. You can go Cody Rhodes and CM Punk. Go Cody Rhodes and Randy Orton.
You have
Kevin Owens and CM Punk.
You got to go Kevin Owens and CM Punk and Cody and Randy Orton. You got to go those two moments. Cody and CM Punk. I should have did that one on Raw. Because it wasn't going to stand up to the other two. It's not like Cody and CM Punk going to be on Raw. You know, one of them two anyway, so. But yeah. If there is any hope that we're going to get a bad guy version of Cody Rhodes, Randy's bringing it out of him. Won't y'all know that?
Yeah, it started with that promo he did. He said, I don't got to be a good guy no more. It's like, oh.
Randy told him, you ain't going to sniff that belt. As long as there's breath in my lungs, I'll make sure of it.
I said, oh.
So for that, Randy Orton, Randall Keith Orton Jr. I'm kidding, you're not a junior. Randall Keith Orton, thank you.
I said, all right. So WWE is teasing Cody Rhodes to might be actually entertaining going the other way. That should be interesting. When it comes to Kevin Owens and CM Punk, it is very simple. Kevin Owens just happened not to be CM Punk. And that's me putting it in a nice turn, because how Kevin Owens said was nothing nice at all. But what has caught my eye? On SmackDown, Shinsuke Nakamura. He said he ain't coming back alone. And he's coming for the Tongas.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay, so who is coming back with you? Early. It's Nakuru.
Naraku, man. Y'all need to stop this. It is Naraku. He is Inuyasha's half brother, Naraku.
That's the other pick.
There's a.
I've seen some people say Zilla.
No, it's the what I'm hearing is going to be a Japanese based faction.
I would agree with that because he said he has to remind people that he's the king of Strong Style. I'm like, well, that's Japanese.
Yeah, so it's another guy that may be coming over from Japan. That they may just bring him straight up, or it may be Naraku, or it could be somebody else. But I would like for it to be multiple people because I think we're going to get somebody else with the Tongans.
So that has caught my attention. I'm like, who's coming back?
It's going to be interesting to see how this comes out, because Shinsuke's pretty much always been myself.
And by the way, Shinsuke's English is getting better.
Mm-hmm. Much better.
I'm liking that. Okay. I'm getting somewhere. Do you have anything you want to add from SmackDown?
I love the real life heat between Kevin Owens and CM Punk. And I like that we have all these intersecting stories because we got CM Punk and Cody. We got Kevin Owens and CM Punk. Then he got a little problem with Cody. Like, he's like, I'm next. Then you got Randy, like, Cody, you ain't going to be champion. So in a sense, in essence, you have Randy helping Kevin Owens. Not directly, but indirectly. I mean, we know Kevin Owens beat the snot out of Randy before the injury. So it's a lot of interesting things that can work out in one dynamic.
That is true. That is true. All right, so you got one more commercial in you before we hit the main event.
Always got another commercial in me, big dog.
Whether it's the men's college game,
the way that this season has been going, anything is possible.
The women's college game,
ranked 11, by the way.
Yeah, they could have been ranked third. It didn't matter. They're gonna get that work.
The WNBA.
She's up there. And I know some are saying that she is the GOAT. I'm not ready to do that yet.
Or the NBA.
The Lakers had a 0.8 chance of winning.
And then what happened in the fourth quarter?
LeBron James by himself outdid the Clippers.
You will get any and all of the information right at your fingertips or your earlobes. Shooting Lights Out on the Playmakers Network YouTube channel and where you can find podcasts. Join the transporter to Hades.
Your butt and gut becomes one.
Join the reformer of hooker whores.
This is my daughter, Placenta Booty Johnson.
Join the bronze god.
Whenever you are in distress, take off your baseball cap and throw it in the air.
Join your very own superhero of broadcasting, Chris Bass.
So whatever color crown they get, they palm it and do two circles, and that translates to, I can beat up black people.
As she takes you through the week's paces in Baseline. Live every Saturday at 8 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Central. No, Pacific time zone people, just stay asleep when this is on live and just catch the recording. Oh, I'm sorry. Exclusively on the Chris Bass YouTube channel.
All right, welcome back to Monster Wrestling, and shout out to Chris Bass. May you rest easy.
Yes, sir. I'm gonna give him a little love every once in a while. Makes me feel good.
So we went through NXT TNA, we went through AEW, we went through WWE. So, Mr. McCain, it's time for the main event.
Yup.
So, with the main event, we're gonna go back to what we put out in the opening bell.
Whoa. It was stuck.
You're good. We're going to start off with Cool McCain because he wants to know something about one Mr. Miles Bourne down in NXT.
Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of chatter about Miles Bourne and if he's deserving of one or both of the championships that he has, and what is his aura? I think, and why does he, you know, have these opportunities? I think that it really has to do with what was said, right? There's not a lot of guys that's ready for the main roster, but there's a lot of guys that think they do. I don't think Miles Bourne is one of the guys that thinks he's ready. So when you're humble enough to say, I'll learn, I'll develop, you know, I want to get better. I know I'm not there yet. I'm not going to be a problem. I think you get opportunities, especially in NXT. And I think that's where Miles Bourne is getting the opportunities. And I think he's going to make the most of it. I hope he's a guy that uses the ability to have the two belts to better his character and to make people care or hate him. Because I think the big thing is he doesn't have a big aura, right? He's solid in the ring, but he doesn't have a big aura. But that's something you learn by getting opportunities. So I think he'll at least have a chance to show that he is what he thinks he is. Or what he hopes he is.
I like Miles Bourne. Is there some complication that comes with Miles Bourne? Yes, because he is partially deaf. I mean.
Yes. And I wanted to leave that for you because I knew you was going to hop on that one.
Yeah, I mean, he is partially deaf, so he can't kind of do the normal routine with him. Got to do things a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
But Miles Bourne is making the best of what he got. Now he's a double champion. Now we can see what kind of double champion he's going to be. We already know what type of North American champion he is because he doesn't care who he has to fight for that North American title. He's going to defend it. But I think what Cool McCain is saying, even though he's the fighting champion, it's not fully resonating with the WWE universe.
But, you know, it was just trying to make it work.
So, but the conversation that's been taking over the wrestling world, one Mr. Conrad from 83 Weeks podcast with Eric Bischoff looked at Eric Bischoff and said, I'm going to say this, and I know you might hate it. Roman Reigns is overrated. He is an industry plant. They tried hard to push him down our throats, and it wasn't working. Conrad, that was the first go around with Roman Reigns. For you to say you could have paired anybody with Paul Heyman at that point in time, it would have been the same, is asinine to me. Because when Roman Reigns came back, he came back as his original self. If you go watch the documentary and talk to the Usos, they said the Tribal Chief Roman Reigns, that's the extra Roman Reigns. That's the guy we grew up with.
Well, we don't even have to go there, right? We can look at the character, how simply he plays it, how believable it is, and it'll tell you that that's probably a little bit more amped up version of who he normally is. That's what makes things good. When you're trying to be an invented character, that's when you don't get over, right? That's when people boo you. That's when people reject you. Once you're being, trying to figure out the term that they use, but like basically like a amped up version of your actual personality, that's when you start to get over because it feels
authentic.
What up, big bro? Wise. And shout out to V-Lock too.
When you are authentic you can see it.
Now, the industry plant comment does have some validation from the beginning. Because he wasn't even supposed to be in the Shield. That's supposed to be Chris Hero. So you do have some validation, like Randy Orton was supposed to be in Evolution. That's supposed to be Mark Jindrak. So you have that. We're going to plant this guy here. So it does have some validity in the beginning, but you don't have the career that you've had if that's all that you have. Right? And like we said, it took time for him to find the footing. The big dog was more of him, but still that cool vibe from the Shield. Then we got this Roman Reigns that like the facial expressions are great. You know what I'm saying? That you can see the attitude and you can see him just like, and then bring it back and keep it cool. On the mic, which is I think always been the biggest hurdle, this version of Roman Reigns is getting it. Because on the mic, this guy can talk. This guy can talk with the best of them now. You know, the situation he had with John Cena, he wasn't really prepared to be that strong on the mic. That's not on him. That's on the people that prepared those things and put him in those positions. But now, I feel like if we could take the OTC Roman Reigns and put him in the time when he was against John Cena, I think we would have Rock Cena again. Two guys that could really get at each other on the mic. The mic improvement when he was at home for COVID because of previously having leukemia, I think that improvement and then getting his body in the best shape he was in, those two things, that's what got him out of the plant and into becoming somebody that, you know, people wanted to see. And everybody throwing their ones, people getting married, playing the music with the championship and everything. So, I mean, he's become the guy 100%. But I think there's some validity to saying that he originally was a plant. Now, if you're trying to say he's still a plant, I'm like, bro, you need to grow up.
Like, Conrad's putting everything together. Like, I'm like, Conrad, no, it's two different timelines with Roman Reigns.
That's how you do when you're trying to invent a story and get people to live up to it. We good, Wise. We good, bro. How you? Yeah.
I mean, I know Conrad, he watches. Are you really watching? This man goes overseas and the entire building is chanting for him.
But Conrad's argument could be that's because he's a plant. That's what they want from a plant. And like I said, I can't sit here and say that he never was a plant. But I think WWE figured out, oh, we have to let him be him. It's not going to work if he's not him. And that's absolutely correct.
Why do you think it works for CM Punk? Because CM Punk is him.
CM Punk is definitely himself. CM Punk don't give a rat's hind parts about nobody. But AJ Lee and then Larry the Dog is deceased, so by AJ.
And, you know, when you say industry plant, people can take that different ways because we all know this wrestling is actually predetermined. So the bookers are actually planting people in certain spots.
Well, the predetermined part, I had this conversation with somebody that doesn't watch wrestling on a regular basis the other night. So the predetermined part is that. But you have guys who know how to get over whether they win or lose. So you can only, the only thing that a booker can do is give you the spot, right? And book you to win or lose. They technically can't make you better than you are. They can't technically push people to like you. They can try, but anybody who they've tried to really push the IWC to like, they'll turn on. So there is some validity in what you're saying as far as getting opportunities, but you still got to figure out a way to connect to the fans. That's what a lot of people are not understanding on why plants don't really work. Still got to get over. You could be champ for 10 years if anybody buying your t-shirts, your merchandise, you're going to slide. I don't care who your daddy is, who your uncle is, who your aunt is, your mama, your cousin. You don't sell merchandise, you slide.
There you go. Roman Reigns, CM Punk, Cody Rhodes. Those are your top three guys. Don't matter how me and him feel, he is on the Cody bandwagon. He got sick and tired of Cody Rhodes, but Cody Rhodes is still a draw across the world.
I told y'all I was going to get tired of Cody. Most people are because they overpushed him. The psychology is you let a guy be at the top for a minute. Then you let him go down a little bit. He can still be the main guy, quote unquote, but you can't continually have a championship. Right? And that's where people got burned out on Cody.
CM Punk, he can leave for 10 years and come back, and people still love CM Punk.
Yeah, because you have to be able to have aura. We just talked about aura a few minutes ago. You have to have aura. You have to have that. I want to see what this guy's going to do, whether I'm tired of him or not.
The tribal chief. When he became the tribal chief, people's like, you know what? I rock with the tribal chief.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, comrade, you want to feel all Marines overrated? That is your opinion. I disagree with you. Because the man had to learn how to get over. He came with the tribal chief. I'll let my co-host speak for himself.
I mean, you can't say that he's not over now. Like I said, you could kind of split the time. You could say there was a point where you could probably agree he was over. Rated, right? But no, not now. Now, the tricky part of now, though, is we're in this situation where the bloodline is starting to feel a little repetitive unless they do something different. So that's when, you know, a lot of people are going to say, oh, you're overrated, blah, 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 blah. It's the booking that's the issue. It's not Roman. It's the booking. They're trying to recreate something that worked years ago on a different show. It's not how you do it. You have to come with something different. And they don't have a wise man. So people, you know, the lovers will argue, there's no wise man and there's no solo and they're more dangerous with Jacob and blah, 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 blah. But honestly, it's still very similar.
And based on what happened on SummerSlam, they more of a joke right now than being taken seriously.
Jimmy and Jay might be a joke. Jay Fatu ain't no joke after what he did to Royce Keys on Monday night. That week. He ain't no joke. He'd be dead man yes. That was like his brother.
That's sad.
But yeah.
And they could be doing something different with the bloodline because like Roman Reigns is like more focused on Jacob than the Usos.
Mm-hmm. I'm tired of the Usos as a tag team too.
So that's the main event. What is y'all thoughts? Y'all let us know.
Like,
and as we get here, can you go hit the final bell, sir? Tonight, as Raw is coming on, Stephanie Vaquero, Becky Lynch will be making appearances tonight. So see how that goes. I'm looking forward. I want to see how Becky Lynch follow up what she did last week. That was some brutal words for a little more. So I need to follow up to keep that momentum going.
You want to keep that same energy, basically.
Keep same energy, yeah. NXT should be interesting. What would round three look like between Tony D, Cruz Montana, and Grayson Waller? Can the third go around maybe put some tractions on the road here as we prepare for Heat Wave? Maybe you get to hear from Miles Bourne. Maybe you get that first step of seeing what Miles Bourne looked like to what Kuma King wants to see from him.
Let's make it happen. You know what I'm saying? Make it happen.
AEW is continuing their build towards All In. this don't mess it up. Y'all are on a good path right now. Y'all are leading on a good path right now.
And we're going to see what MJF is going to do. I don't want to talk about it yet. I need to see what the follow-up is. So if you wonder, well, why Cool didn't say nothing about MJF in this whole promo, I got to see what they do this week.
TNA, we continue towards lockdown. And, of course, crowning the first ever Knockouts television champion. We're getting close to the semifinals. That should be interesting to look at. And one more thing, WWE, you have Saturday night's main event, September 6th, the day before Labor Day. There's no PLEs until October 10th, which is Money in the Bank. If y'all can't get this Sunday's night main event, because it's going to be on a Sunday, to work, cut the entire idea.
The idea already has two problems. You're doing a special Sunday night. You shouldn't. It should be Saturday night. The other problem is you're putting some too close together and spreading some out. It's supposed to be 4 years. So every 2.5, 3 months, you should have one. That way you can use them as like, you're doing the right thing, I feel like, with this one. You're putting in as a filler because you don't have a PLE really in this month. So PLEs, you know, 10 days in the next month. So put Saturday night's main event kind of there. But if you did Saturday night's main event like a week earlier, how much more interesting could it be? Because you have a little bit more time before the pay-per-view. So you have a little bit more time, excuse me, premium live event to build up for that. But that's strategic scheduling. And I don't think WWE has anyone as good at that on the WWE side.
See, this time frame that you did, you had SummerSlam at the beginning of the month. Mm-hmm. You don't get Sunday's night main event to the next month. Mm-hmm. Then a month after that is Money in the Bank. Perfect timing. You need Sunday's night main event to hit. It doesn't have to be PLE type level. But you need it to hit. Otherwise, you ain't doing it right. And that's it. That's all I got. You got anything else?
No, sir.
That was your final bell. That'll do it here from Monarchs of Wrestling on this day. You know, we enjoy y'all comments. We enjoy y'all interacting with us. And to send us off, I pass it to my co-host.
With that being said, we are done for this week. As always, good people, it's never where you start. It's always where you finish. And make sure you check on your friends that may be struggling. Right? Just a phone call. Just a text. Just a call sometimes. You know, a text. It makes a difference. And with that being said, we out. We'll be back next week. Another episode, and make sure y'all hit the like button, the share button, subscribe button, all that good stuff. We'll be back next week with another episode. And of course, we froze for a second. Bye-bye.